Please open your Bibles with me to John chapter 9. It's a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you'll be honored and you'll be glorified in all things we do and say here. And Father, that this service be set on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. John chapter 9 is an interesting chapter. You talk about occurrences in the Bible. This account is rich with people of all kinds of opinions, with people of all kinds of doubts, and all kinds of compassion and bitterness and not understanding. And so we're going to look at these accounts here and see the dynamics of what people do and say and how it relates to Christ. So we start off and says, and Jesus passed by the man which was blind from his birth. Let me say something right here. Jesus never just passes by happenstance. If Jesus passes by, something is reason. Jesus never went anywhere just to go anywhere. God, when he was on this earth, he went for a purpose. Everything he did in his life is a purpose. And so this is a purpose he has to go to this place here. So he comes by and his disciples ask him, saying, Master, who did sin that this man and his parents, or his parents, that he was born blind? We as people always need to find out who is responsible for something. It's our nature. This is kind of a funny story, but I was at the garden of this man who was deaf and also was mentally handicapped. And he had to know who's at fault for everything. When the car weatherman predicted snow, he actually wrote a letter to the man saying, we don't want snow in Bremerton, do not send snow here. He blamed him for the snow. But, you know, we always like to blame somebody else. We always like to find fault with somebody else. And there's a reason for that. It puts us on a higher plane than them. It helps us to look down on them, to be more holy than them. Now, the disciples here looking at this guy, well, they immediately think it's sin. Folks, it isn't always sin that causes things to occur. God causes things to occur that are amazing and would marvel you. I was run over by a forklift when I was 30 years old, and if I look in the rearview mirror, everything that ever since that time in my life, it changed my life and gave it direction that I don't think I would have had it not been run over, okay? So just because something bad happens doesn't mean it's not for a good reason. Because God never promised us that good things are going to happen all the time. We will face bad occurrences in our life. It's just natural. But God is still in control. So Jesus says, hey, he says, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Okay? Then he says something very interesting here. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man shall work. And the listeners saying it, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, the pastor's been talking a lot about the light, and I looked that word up. That word is phos, P-H-O-S, phos. And you can get phosphorus from that and other stuff. And it's light. But interesting about this verse is it's not just light. It's not a flashlight beam to a particular spot. That's not what it is. It's rays of light covering a large ground. That word there means a big ray of light that's covered a lot of area. So Christ is not just a beam of flashlight on one thing. Christ is a light that spread throughout the whole world. And that's what that word means right there, that word light. So Jesus comes here and he sees this guy and he says, okay, let's see what's going on here. The guy's blind. Now Jesus can heal this guy. He can say, you're healed, go away. You're healed, you know, get and walk. He cannot say nothing. He can walk by the guy and just heal the guy by his presence. You remember the woman just touched his robe and he was healed, remember that? He can just heal the guy by his presence, but he does neither of those. He does this entire picture. And he takes the man, and he spits in it, and he takes the dirt, and he makes clay. And he takes the clay, and he puts it in each of the guy's eyes. Now he says, go to the pool of Siloam, and wash your eyes. And so the guy washed his eyes and he could see. And I wonder, why does Jesus do all these gyrations when he can just simply speak to him and he's made whole? Well, I've read some commentaries and they say, well, he used the elements to show he has power over the elements, and that's true there. But I think the main purpose here is this is the Sabbath day. And I think he knows what's going to happen. Well, I know he knows what's going to happen. He's sending a message to the Pharisees. Okay? And we'll see that later, that he's done, that he's doing that. So he heals the guy on the Sabbath. And this guy's healed. And now he goes to his neighbors. Right? And he comes to his neighbors, and they're completely bewildered. Okay? They're completely bewildered. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, they had that he was blind, said, it is not he that sat and begged. Some of them, but some others said it was him. And he said, wait a minute. It's me. I'm the guy. People need to see a change in your life when you come across Christ. People didn't recognize him because he could see. Now, that's a big miracle. When you got saved, that's a big miracle. People in your life need to see the change in your life through Christ. They need to see something different. They need to be able to not recognize you. And that's the same. Looks the same, but who is that guy? It's not the same guy he was yesterday. Who is that guy? And that's what happened to the neighbors. So he says, you know, what happened to you? And he said, oh, wow. He said, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus. Now, look what he does. He gives Jesus the credit. You see that? A man called Jesus. We have to understand that we have to give Christ the credit for everything in our lives. Okay? I'm up here because of the power of Christ. You're sitting there because of the power of Christ. We have this church because of the power of Christ. We have to understand that Christ is in control of everything. This man gave Jesus the credit for what happened. And he said he made the clay, and he put him on eyes. He said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went there, and I recovered my sight. What a miracle. So the neighbors say, well, let's go see this guy. Right? They said, where is he? He said, I know not. I don't know where he went. See, Jesus did not hang around. He said, go wash in the pool. And his disciples left. There's a purpose in this. So the neighbors are stuck here with this guy who just faced a tremendous miracle. A life-changing miracle. Just like when he was saved. A life-changing miracle. And this guy experienced it. He can now see. And they're excited about it. And so they brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind. Now, don't think these guys are doing something bad. They're bringing to the religious leaders because a miracle occurred. I think these guys were excited about a miracle, and so we need to show the Pharisees what happened. You know, I mean, they're excited. They want to show what happened to this guy because they're excited about the neighbor who can now see. So they take him to the Pharisees, who are the religious leaders, and they think, okay, they're going to be really excited about this. They're going to be happy about this. This guy got his eyes back. He's got his vision back. They're going to be very excited about this. What else say? And so he goes there to the Pharisees. They brought him to the Pharisees, him that before time was blind. Uh-oh. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. It was a Sabbath day. These Pharisees are so hypocritical that they took the Sabbath and worship the Sabbath more than worship God. They made it so you could do nothing on the Sabbath. And healing someone on the Sabbath was a sin because you shouldn't do anything on the Sabbath, period. You know, that's not the intent of God. Christ is showing him the intent of God for the Sabbath. He did a good work on the Sabbath. But the Pharisees and their legalistic system, that was a no-no. Let the guy go blind. Don't heal that guy on Sabbath. Right, let that guy go blind, right? I don't care, you fell down, I'm not picking you up on the Sabbath, right? That is so bad. But that's the religion that they designed for themselves and held the people accountable to. Do you realize that all the people had to do this? He was, the Pharisees were in charge, and if you did not follow this command letter by letter, you were cast out. Okay? So understand, this is a very serious issue to them. Then said they unto him, then again, the Pharisees also asked him, now he had received the sight, how he received the sight, and he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Simple. That's what happened. That's it. That's what happened. Now you think they would say, wow, this is a great thing. Can you imagine that? Guy put this guy's clay on his eyes and he can see. What a wonderful thing that is. No, not so much. And therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. I love this. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall to see this argument. Well, he did that on the Sabbath. He's a sinner because he healed him on the Sabbath. He gave him his eyesight on the Sabbath. And the other guy said, well, wait a minute. How could he do that if he's a sinner? How could he do that miracle? And so, really, the Lord gave them quite a conundrum. I mean, here you are. Is he a good guy? Is he a good guy because he gave the guy his eyesight? Or is he a bad guy because he did it on the Sabbath? You see the lesson the Lord is teaching them? And so there's division among the Pharisees because they simply cannot get a grasp on what is going on with this guy. Okay? Why? Because they're so steeped in their religion of legalism that they cannot see the forest through the trees. All they see is this is the Sabbath day, you do nothing. It doesn't matter that this guy was blind begging in the street. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens, it's the Sabbath day. So therefore, he's a sinner. But he did this miracle. How could he be a sinner? So they're in dispute here. And so they go back to the guy again. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. He said the same thing again. Well, you know, if you say the truth, you ain't got to remember what you said. This is the truth of what happened. And the Pharisees wouldn't receive the truth. This is not right. I can't believe this. Huh? So he said the same thing. Well, okay, did they expect a different answer? They didn't get it. And so now they're revolving around this conundrum. Okay? Okay. So therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do much miracles? And there was division among them. They're all messed up here. They're still having a problem. How can this be happening? How can this be happening? Okay. But the Jews, I'm sorry. So they're still arguing with themselves. Okay? He healed on the Sabbath. He's a sinner. He did a miracle. He's not a sinner. You know, we sometimes do the same thing. We judge people by our standards and not by the Bible standards. You know that? Okay. I wore a tie today. He doesn't have a tie on. Shame on him. He's a sinner. Right? Think about it. That's the way we think. That's what we think. See, the problem with us is that we judge people the same way these Pharisees did. He can't be right because he didn't do this legalistic thing that I believe is right. Okay? He can't be right because X, Y, Z. I do X, Y, Z. He doesn't do X, Y, Z. Therefore, he's wrong. I'm right. He must be a sinner. That's how the Pharisees thought. And that's how we think. We look for people to do wrong so we can accuse them of it and feel better about ourselves. And the Pharisees here, they're looking at that, except that it's not the same because they're in this conundrum of sinner, not sinner. And we need to avoid that in our lives. We need to not be caught up in that. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. The last thing we should be doing is judging each other. Okay? That's the last thing we should be doing. Then they said unto the blind man, again, what sayest thou of him that hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. Now, that's not an amazing thing, because many people who weren't believing in Christ at first thought he was a prophet. Right? Nicodemus says, no man come from God unless he saith these things, right? So a lot of you believed that he was a prophet before they realized that he was the Son of God. And so he says, well, this guy's got to be a prophet. He healed my eyes. Think about it from this perspective. He can see. The Pharisees don't want to understand, but this man can see. So he knows that what happened to him is a miracle. And the Pharisees are trying to talk him out of being a miracle and talk him out of something actually happening. That happens to us a lot too. You ever run into somebody that absolutely tried to talk you out of your Christianity? Yeah, people do that. People try to talk about us and talk us out of believing in Christ all the time. And that's what they're trying to do, this guy. He says, well, you know what? I think he's a prophet, okay? Why? Because he got a sight back, all right? But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received the sight until they called the parents of him that had received the sight. You see, they think this is a parlor trick. They think this guy is like, they think Christ is like, you know, Jim Jones or Roberts, that man, he just all fake healing stuff. See, these guys are all charlatans. They're all charlatans. They don't heal anybody. And so these guys think, well, he must be a charlatan. This guy must be able to see, and this is all a parlor trick to get attention for Christ. And don't think people don't do that. Don't think in your life that people won't put on an act to make you believe something else. Okay? Because they'll do that. They'll try to convince you to speak in tongues, and they'll speak in tongues and you can't do that. They'll try to convince you that somebody can heal, and they'll try to convince you of all these things. You need to understand that Christ is all in all, and we don't care about those other things. But be careful, because that's a deception of the devil. The devil here told the Pharisee, he really can see. He wasn't blind at all. This is all just a trick. Okay. So we're looking at that now, but the neighbors knew he was blind. But the Pharisees didn't know he was blind. Okay. So when they asked the parents. Now the parents come in and they're sitting there. Can you imagine this scene now? They call his parents in. Here's the Pharisees. And they call the parents in, and they're going to ask them some questions. And they're members of the synagogue. They're caught in a real tough situation. You know, imagine, can you imagine if you were called in the office and everybody's sitting there and you didn't have to answer? Don't answer. What happened? I don't know. Well, let's see what they say. And ask them, saying, is this your son? Whom ye say was born blind, how then doth he now see? See, you say he's blind. Evidently, they're calling the parents liars. You say he's blind, but how can he see? See, they're accusing now the parents of lying about their son, because they can't accept the works of Christ. And the world that cannot accept the works of Christ keeps denying the fact of it. That can't be. That can't happen. You can't get saved. You can't know you're going to heaven. The world says that because they don't want to believe. And so they think that you're lying. And so now they think the parents are lying. You say he's blind, but man, he's right there. You can see. And the parents, his fellows answered for his parents. His parents answered to them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. Hey, listen, we just know the facts. The facts, he was born blind. Okay, we can't lie about that. He was born blind. So that killed the Pharisees' argument that you say, no, he was born blind. That's a fact. But what means he now seeth, we know not. And who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. He said, wait. We don't want to answer this counsel. Ask him. He's old enough to answer for himself. We know he's born blind. We don't see now. We have no idea what happened. So don't ask us. Ask him. You know, people are afraid to testify for Christ. They're afraid. And they were afraid, not sure why. It says here, then again they called they were afraid, okay, the word spake his parents because they feared that the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he would be removed, put out of the synagogue. They don't be kicked out of the church. So they said, well, we don't know what happened. We don't know. As our son, he was blind, now sees. We have no idea what happened. You see how the story goes. The parents refused to believe the power of Christ. Why? Because they feared being kicked out of church. You know, there's a lot of people in false churches today who simply will not believe the Bible because they're going to get kicked out of the church. Okay? It's true. You witness people, they don't want to hear it because it's counter to the false doctrine that they're being taught, and that will cause them to lose their faith in whatever it is built on. So it's hard to witness the Catholics and Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and all these vast cults because they're afraid. Their mind and their heart is built in their church, not in the Word of God. And they're afraid to be kicked out of the church. And so they'll continue to believe a false Bible, false gospel, and turn their backs on this simply out of fear of being kicked out of the church. They'll go to hell because they don't want to leave the church. And that's sad then. But that's more real than you think, folks. That's more real than you think. And so these parents said, hey, we don't know nothing. We're done. You ask him. And they didn't get kicked out of the synagogue. They feel better. They're good. They're going good now. We're okay. Okay. He answered and said, therefore, then again called they upon the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Well, he is giving God the praise. That's what he's been doing all along. he's been constantly praising God for what God did to him. He says, no, you praise God because this guy's a sinner. But he is praising God. You see? And that's what people want you to do. They want you to ignore Christ and praise whoever their God is. Whatever their God is. They don't want you praising Christ. And the sad thing is the Pharisees could not see this. They could only see that this man was praising a sinner. And he was actually praising God. All right. So then he says, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. Listen, I don't know anything about this guy. I have no idea who he is. Right? He didn't know Christ had come up to him and healed him. I don't know anything about this guy. I don't know who he is. I know not one thing. One thing I know. That whereas I was blind, now I see. He said, listen, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know what he read. I don't know anything about him. All I know is this. I was blind begging, and now I can see. That's fact. That is a fact that you can't deny, that they can't deny, that no one could deny. My parents could not deny it. The Pharisees couldn't deny it. The neighbors couldn't deny it. He could see. And that's all I know. I don't know anything about that guy. All I know is I can see. And that's why you consider the guy a prophet, because who could do those miracles? And that's what we're going to say. Then say it to him again. What did he to thee? How opened thine eyes? Now, come on. This is the third or fourth time they've asked this question, right? Because they refuse to accept the truth. How many times do we just refuse to accept the truth of the gospel? How many times in our life do we refuse to accept the truth of the gospel and got saved? How many people have you run into that refuse to accept the truth of the gospel? to tell me again what happened. I don't understand. This is not hard. This is not rocket science. He put spittle clay in my eyes. I washed my eyes and I could see. He told them over and over and over again. He's told the story a bunch of times. It hasn't changed. This is simple stuff. But they would not gather it because it didn't compute with them, because it was not part of their religious beliefs and their religious practices. So now he starts to get a little frustrated. Then said they to him, okay, how do they open their eyes? Listen to his answer. He answered them, I have told you already, and you do not hear. Wherefore would you hear again? And we'll read that for a second. He said, man, how many times have I got to tell you? You won't listen. If you're not going to listen the first and second, third time, why are you going to listen again? You're not going to listen to me. I told you exactly what happened. Tell me again. You ever run into people like that? You try to testify about Christ? What happened to you? No, that didn't happen. What happened to you? No, that didn't happen. What happened to you? That didn't happen. Listen, I told you what happened. Okay? And that's what he's doing here. Now watch his last statement here. He says, wherefore would you hear if again? Will you also become his disciples? Wow. Now, I got to tell you something. That was dripping with sarcasm. Because he's looking at the Pharisees who despise Christ. And he said, well, hey, I tell you again, would you be his disciples? He knows they wouldn't be. But he's getting frustrated with them because they will not believe what's before their very eyes. And I think that's a great comment there. If I tell you, would you be his disciples? No, they're not going to be his disciples. And they're going to get mad here. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Now, we're going to get to why that is. Let's get why it is, and then we'll say, well, we know that God spoke unto Moses, and for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Well, you know what? They're not God's disciples, they're Moses' disciples. Am I right or wrong? They belong to God, they belong to Moses. Are Abraham's children? We're God's children. You see, they went to Moses and said, we know God spoke directly to Moses. Therefore, we're disciples of Moses. They're worshiping Moses? Sounds like it. It sounds like they believe that Moses is a holy person because God spoke to him. We don't know anything about this guy. If they would have taken time to learn about Christ, they would have found out that he spoke directly with God too. And that he was God. But they refused to do that, and they'd rather say, we believe in Moses. We're Moses' disciples. Why Moses? Because the law came to Moses. The law came through Moses. And so they're disciples of Moses, which is saying we keep the law that God gave to Moses. You see that? That's why the Moses disciples, because they are law keepers under the law that God gave to Moses. So it was disciples of Moses. Just like people are disciples of some leader here because he gave them a bunch of rules and they followed the rules. We're disciples of so-and-so. And so we're disciples of Moses. We don't know about this other guy. And the man answered and said to them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and ye hath opened mine eyes. How do you not know who this is? You guys are the leaders, the religious leaders of this place. You're the head teachers of Jerusalem. You're the masters of the scriptures. And you don't know who he is? What a great statement when you look at that and you break that down. He is chastising the Pharisees for not knowing who Christ was. You don't know who he is? Wow. You're the big teachers of this thing. You don't know who he is? You see? Because why? Because they decided to be willfully ignorant of who Christ was. The Pharisees did not want to believe in Christ because he challenged them on their belief system, which was contrary to the Word of God. Okay? And he constantly challenged them that. And that's why he did this miracle on the Sabbath, to challenge them again, because he was God and he created the Sabbath and it was right to heal a guy on the Sabbath. And again, he challenged their belief system, and here they are. And so he says, well, you know what? You guys are leaders. You don't know that? You don't know who this is? almost like a shame on you. That's like coming to the pastor. You know what John 3:16 is? I mean, come on. That's basically what they're saying. So now, this is what Pharisees answer now. The man answered, okay, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he him heareth. We know this. We know if anybody does the will of God, God hears him. Christ is doing the will of God, but they didn't hear him. The Pharisees, we know this. If someone comes to God, God hears them and answers their prayers. What does that got to do with Christ? Why? Because God does not hear sinners. And they believe Christ is a sinner because he healed on the Sabbath. Except how could he do his miracles if he's a sinner? So they finally said, you know, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He comes straight forward and says, look, have you ever heard of someone opening the eyes of the blind at the beginning of time? No, you haven't heard that. He said, if this man could do that, then he is of God. He can't be a sinner and do those things. This guy is believing in Christ because he experienced Christ. You see, when you got saved, you had an experience with Christ. You believe. A lot of people in the world don't believe because they don't have that hard experience with Christ. They have never accepted him as a Savior. So therefore, they can't believe. These people won't believe because they won't receive Christ. But this guy has had an experience with Christ. He said, Christ touched me and healed me, and I believe that something occurred. All right? So if this man was not of God, he could do nothing. Period. If he wasn't of God, how could he give me sight? Well, there's really no answer to that, is there? If you're a Pharisee, how do you answer that question? There is no answer. And so, like all the lost people that we deal with and stuff, they're going to respond there. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. He said, who are you, born in sin? And you're trying to teach me about who this person is? You're out of here. And they kicked him out of the synagogue. You see, that was the only answer they had. The only answer is, I know the scriptures better than you, therefore I'm right and you're wrong, and how are you trying to teach me? Who are you to tell me that this guy is the Messiah? I know every jot and tittle in here. Who are you to tell me that? And they kicked him out. Why? They had no other answer. They flat out had no other answer to give for what happened to this guy. And so when all else fails, get indignant. And that's what they did. They became indignant and they kicked him out. We took care of that problem. Didn't have to deal with the truth. Because the truth was right in their face and they refused to believe the truth. Okay, so they kicked him out. And then Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, now Jesus had found him, he said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Jesus, now, remember, Jesus disappeared from the scene. The guy couldn't find him. Now Jesus re-enters the scene. That was his plan from the start. And I said, do you believe in the Son of God? This guy is now confronted with the eternal question. Do you believe in the Son of God? And Jesus confronts him with that. And watch his answer. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? At this time, he doesn't even believe that Jesus is God. He knows that the Messiah is here, and he thinks that Jesus is a prophet, but notice that it's okay because a lot of people that got saved believed that Jesus was just a prophet until they understood that he was really God. Okay, so who is he that I can believe in? Who is this guy? Now watch his answer, because Jesus very rarely says this. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. You can count upon one hand the time that Jesus actually said that to people, that he was the God. Right? The woman at the well, he said, I'm he. And he said to God, I am he. Now this guy's confronted. Don't take for granted what's occurring here. This guy is being confronted by the Pharisees. He's actually been saved. And he comes back to him and says, I want to believe in the Son of God. Who is he? He thinks that this guy is a prophet. He says, well, no. I'm not a prophet. I am he. I'm the Son of God. Can you imagine the thought process of this man at this point in time? He is standing before the Son of God who gave him sight. And he's dealt with the Pharisees and saw their religious attitude and the false teachings that were there. And now he said, hey, I am he. And so, he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Right away, I believe. Why? Because God gave him a sight. But there's more to it than that. He believed because God was God. And the Pharisees convinced him when they would not accept what Christ did. And he said, he's got to be somebody. He's got to be somebody because he healed me. And they said, he's a nobody. He's a sinner. But he kept saying, there's got to be somebody because he healed me. Okay, so now the guy gets saved and he worships him. And then watch what Jesus says. He says, for judgment I am come into the world, that which see not might see, and that which see might be made blind. Now, let's follow the rest of the thought and we can get it here. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard those words and said unto him, are we blind also? Wow, the Pharisees were out there. They watched this whole thing. Hey, they watched this whole event in front of them. They were, are we blind also? You said that we blind also? Watch Jesus' answer. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sins remaineth. A great answer there. Understand, he's using sight. Now, he's using the sight. The whole thing was a miracle about the eyes. And now he's using sight as a metaphor of what happens here. He says, you know what? If you were blind, you wouldn't have sins. If we knew nothing about the scriptures, we'd be easily saved. If we weren't tied into a false religion, we'd be easily saved because we'd be convinced that Christ is God, like we all are. But hey, because you see, therefore your sin remaineth. You see your religion. You see your church. You see your justification. You see your righteousness. Therefore, your sin remaineth because you can see. Isn't that funny? God says the blind are okay. Those that see are in trouble. And he's talking about those that believe falsely and those that don't, okay? So what do we get from this here? Well, let's sum this up. The knowledge of Christ today is universal. That the rays of light are all out there. Every corner of this earth, the rays are out there. And those who deny him are willfully ignorant of Christ. And they're left without excuse because they choose to remain blind to the truth. All right. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the folks that heard today, Father. And Lord, that it may have tried, just moved the hearts of the folks. And we thank you that for your word and for the example of Christ and this blind man. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.